Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the off-season preview edition of Phillies Today on Phillies 24/7 for Sports Radio 94 WIP. I am Francisco Rojas, sitting here on Monday, October 30th. Game 3 of the World Series is tonight, and we all thought our Philadelphia Phillies would be playing in said game, but going to try to get off that, because it feels like every time we talk about the World Series, like, oh, the Phillies are supposed to be playing, and you know what, man, we got to try and move on, right? I feel like I'm sort of moving on from that upset, anger stage, whatever the seven stages are. It doesn't even matter. I'm kind of accepting it, kind of. I mean, I kind of have to, because we're doing the off-season preview here, and hopefully some of you can join me in that. So today, pretty much, like I mentioned and I teased in our last episode that I did, at least, that we'd get into our off-season preview, because we got to move on to, you know, to winter and, you know, try our best to look ahead to spring training, you know, February and March of next year in 2024. So today, pretty simple. We're going to look at the priorities for the Fightins and Dave Dombrowski, Sam Fold, what they have to do this offseason to make this team better, or just to keep this team a contender, because which I think still think they are. So we'll get into priorities. We'll get into the pieces that we don't really need to worry about this offseason necessarily. Who I wouldn't bring back that might be, that is a free agent this season or this offseason. And we'll also discuss Rob Thompson potentially like being on the hot seat like right now. Like, we'll talk about that. I kind of want to get that out the way a little bit later. And then we'll recap the World Series, because it's the World Series and we have to. Okay. This is a Philly show, but at the end of the day, it is a baseball show too. So we are going to recap and preview game 3 of the World Series that starts tonight just after 8 o'clock. So starting with priorities when it comes to the Philadelphia Phillies and what they have to do this offseason. So priority number one, you've got to do something at the number two starting pitcher spot if you are Dave Dombrowski, Sam Fold. And look, I'm for bringing back Aaron Nola for the right price. The problem is, I think someone out there is going to give him money, whether it's a team that needs starting pitching out there. I think there's going to be a team, you know, that wants to win, and that is going to be willing to say, they'll look at his 2018 season, they'll look at last year, not this past year, but the year before in 2022. They'll look at, you know, even this postseason where he was pretty good besides, you know, the last start. And I think there's going to be a team that's going to give him maybe overpay. And I don't want the Phillies to do that. I think that, you know, it's a tough spot because the market isn't crazy. But you know who I do like out there? And it would be maybe for similar AAV to a certain extent, but at least looking at his market value, it wouldn't be looking for a long-term contract. I mean, I think Nola's looking for like a 5-6 year deal. I'd rather go somebody like maybe like a Sonny Gray. And I know he's had, this is kind of recency bias because he's coming off a year where he was really good. I know he's had injury issues over the last couple of seasons, but I think he would be somebody that makes sense because, if you look at his overall career, he's been pretty good. He's been a pretty good starting pitcher. And I know in the last couple of years, he's been really good. You know, for Minnesota and Cincinnati a couple of years ago, I think Sonny Gray makes sense because the market value, at least what I'm looking at from SpotTrack, would be like 3 years, $60 million. And I think that would make sense because maybe you give time for guys like, hopefully Painter can come back sooner than later, and McGarry, and Abel. And I just think it would make sense for, you know, a team that's looking to win right now, obviously. And to me, he would be a solidified number two, as long as he can stay healthy, right? So I think Sonny Gray would make sense. Aaron Nola for the right price. I don't know if he would take a hometown discount. I think there would be a team out there that's going to overpay for Aaron Nola. I like Sonny Gray. I like Sonny Gray. I think he would be a good solidified number two. So if you don't get Nola for the right price, I like Sonny Gray. Second priority. And we saw it this past, over the last couple of months with Craig Kimbrell. We loved what Kimbrell did for us in the first half, but Kimbrell kind of doing what he's done over the last 4 or 5 years of his career, which is be an inconsistent closer / bullpen piece. I think if you're the Phillies, you need to... I don't want Josh Hader. Josh Hader is phenomenal, but 5 years, $117 million, I believe, is his market value. I'm not giving that much to a reliever. I'm sorry. And it's not like he's been... I mean, yeah, he has. He's been one of the best relievers in baseball, but I don't think he's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. I think it would be worth it to more get... There's always like a guy or, you know, a couple of guys out there that are good, competent arms. And you never really know relievers too. Like they're year to year. They're literally like year to year. You never really know. So maybe like bring back like Matt Moore. I know that sounds stupid, but like Matt Moore was, he sucked for the Phillies a couple of years ago, but since then he's been really good. Maybe a Phil Maton, who, yes, he had like one good year with Houston, but thought it was great for Houston. And, there are guys out there, again, that I think you can just be good, competent arms. I think it's more about, like, because I think people want, oh, we need to bring in, like, a great closer, a reliable closer. I think maybe it's more about giving, like, you know, Topper, and Topper didn't really put him in as much in the postseason, the high-leverage spots. But, like, Jeff Hoffman, Jose Alvarado, Sir Anthony. You know, Sir Anthony's kind of been, you know, he's had the injury issues, but he's kind of been sort of all over the place, but I'd be willing to give Sir Anthony some shots here in the future, or, you know, next year. But like Hoffman, Alvarado, Sir Anthony, I don't know about Kirkering. I'm like, I love Kirkering stuff. We all love the talent, but maybe he starts this season. I don't know. We'll see where he's at in spring training, but I don't know. There's nobody like out there like in the market that I'm like, oh, go get that guy for the right price. He's a reliable closer / high leverage guy. I just think it's like, obviously it's extremely important that you just don't bring back Craig Kimbrell. Even though he was an all-star last year, he had a great first half. Even the second half, at certain points, he wasn't bad at all. He was actually really good. But Craig Kimbrell has just been, he's Mr. Inconsistent, you know, since his great years in Atlanta and even some in Boston. Craig Kimbrell, don't bring him back. Just you got to look at somebody in the market to bring in that a reliable arm. I mean, that could potentially be a high leverage guy. I don't know, but there's not a lot of guys out there. I was looking at Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks has some command issues. You know, the stuff is obviously nasty. There's like a 103-mile-per-hour sinker. It's nasty, but he has command issues. I'm not sure on Jordan Hicks. I've seen, you know, some names out there, but no one that like super sticks out to me like, oh, it'd be perfect for the Phillies. I don't know. So bullpen piece, I just think it's more about giving some of those guys, like Hoffman, Alvarado, Sir Anthony, some guys that are already here, some more of the high leverage situations, and having somebody like Craig Kimbrell out there that you just can't rely on, you know, the appearance in, appearance out. So last priority, Rhys Hoskins. Obviously this is somebody that's been one of the best Phillies since he's come up, since he was called up in 2017. Love Rhys Hoskins. And a lot of people are saying this hinges on Bryce Harper. I actually think it makes sense to keep Bryce at first base, and it's for the longevity of his career too. You know, less stress on him, you know, playing first. And Bryce was good at first base. Like, I think you keep Bryce at first base. You put Marsh out in left field. We'll see what happens with Rojas. Like, I mean, Rojas had like a good regular season when he was called up. He wasn't obviously sucked in the postseason. We'll see what happens in spring training, but I think it makes sense to potentially see what happens at center field with Rojas. Pache is still there, and Pache at points was a good hitter, and we know how good of a fielder he is. I like Schwarber at the DH, and I like, I'm fine with Castellanos in right field because Pache, Rojas, and Marsh are such good fielders that they can balance out Castellanos being such a bad fielder to a certain extent. So I'm fine with, and Castellanos, if, as long as he has an offensive year like he did this past season, like, I'm cool with him in right field. That can balance out, which means I think Rhys Hoskins isn't here. I don't think it's necessary to bring him back. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. It sucks to think about it that way, because we all love Rhys, especially after last postseason, the bat spike and all that, and all the home runs. You know, Rhys has had an up and down relationship with the fan base. But I think Rhys goes, man. I think Harper plays first base. And I think it makes sense to have Marsh, Rojas, Castellanos out there in the outfield. Maybe Pache is your fourth guy. I think, like, it makes sense. I really do. So I think Rhys is gone. But is there a way he comes back? Maybe if they put Bryce out in the outfield. But I don't know. I think it just makes more sense to Schwarber DH, what I mentioned there. So I just think it makes more sense to not bring Reese back. Pieces you don't have to worry about this offseason. So those are priorities, right? Nola, bullpen piece, what happens with Hoskins, but I think Harper ends up playing first base. That's the way I see it. Pieces you don't have to worry about on offense, catcher, first base. There's a lot you don't have to worry about, which is great. I mean, you think about that. It's really just about getting back to the promised land. Catcher, first base, second base, shortstop, third base, outfield, what I mentioned all there, right? Realmuto, I think Harper plays first, second base, Stott, it's about to win a gold glove, potentially. Turner, shortstop, wasn't great in the field, but, you know, give him a rebound season. Bohm at third, he improved this year. So, and improved with the bat. 20 home runs this year in the outfield, like I mentioned there. Starting pitching, Wheeler, Suarez, Sanchez, and Taijuan Walker. I think, you know, Walker had an up and down year. You give Christopher Sanchez maybe a full year, see what he's got. He was nasty this year. Ranger Suarez, maybe a full season healthy, see what he's got. Zach Wheeler, obviously, you're the ace of all aces, you know, in recent years for the Phillies. So Zach Wheeler, maybe work on extending him. We'll see what happens. But yeah, really have to worry about that second starter with Nola. Bullpen, I, like I said, I like the bullpen. Strom, Alvarado, Sir Anthony, Hoffman, Soto, up and down this year, but give Soto another chance this year. He was good with Detroit. Dylan Covey, another arm that I think, you know, he was good with the Phillies, actually. Like, he had a bad start, but he finished well with the Phillies. Give him another chance this year. Connor Brogdon, Andrew Bilotti, those are guys that you could potentially, I know they've had up and down Phillies career, especially Brogdon, which actually his overall numbers have been pretty good with the Phillies, but has had an inconsistent tenure with the Phils. But I actually like the bullpen overall. Maybe just add another piece or two. Who I'm not bringing back? If I'm Dombrowski and I'm Sam Fold, when looking at the free agents, and I've kind of alluded to them already, but I'll Michael Lorenzen, number one, who threw a no-hitter for the Phils, which is insane. To his first two starts, you thought the guy was going to, there are already people saying, Nola has to be out of the playoff rotation. Michael Lorenzen goes in, which didn't make any sense, but you know how Philadelphia fans are. Michael Lorenzen, I would not bring back. He was not great, and I don't have any interest in bringing Michael Lorenzen back, even in the rotation. I just don't have any interest in bringing him back. I said Rhys Hoskins already. I mentioned Craig Kimbrell. I'm not bringing back Craig Kimbrell as well. So those three I'm not bringing back as far as free agents go. Just looking at the overall, just to keep, to let you guys know who the overall free agents are this year for the Phils. Let's take a look. I had it in front of me. I'm going to get it right now. But I know, so obviously we mentioned Kimbrell. I'm going to have a frame for it. Okay. So Hoskins, mentioned Hoskins already. Nola, Kimbrell, Lorenzen, Scott Kingery. So he has a club option, it says, $13 million. And then Drew Ellis. So, I mean, we mentioned the important ones already. Scott Kingery, his time with in the majors or with the Phils is all but over. So those are just to note who all the free agents are this offseason. Those are your free agents. Last thing I want to mention, and this has to be a part of the offseason, and I didn't really think I had to mention this, but just because there's actually been talk of this, and you know, because in Philadelphia, we expect, you know, teams to win, even though we don't have a history of winning. We actually think about it, it doesn't make sense. But I get it. You know, love being a Philadelphia sports fan. Love how, you know, hard we root for our teams, being diehards and all that. But how much sense does it really make to, like, say Rob Thompson's on the hot seat now? There's people that say, oh, he needs to be fired. Like, he doesn't need to be back. Like, Thompson's going to be back. Let's just get that out of the way. Thompson's going to be back. Like, the way Dombrowski talked about it, I think Thompson was mentioned to him, and he kind of just said, well, if every, you know, he's basically saying he's going to be back. He's going to be back. I don't remember exactly what he said in the press conference, but he's going to be here. I think there's people criticizing, you know, him putting in Kimbrel in game 4. Of course, like, definitely deserves that criticism. I didn't think it made sense to bring him in another high leverage spot after what we saw in game 3, and even at points in the postseason. It didn't make sense to bring him in, for sure. But that was just one move. You know, like, that was only one move. At the end of the day, the biggest reason why the Phillies lost the NLCS was because their bats didn't come through when they needed them to. Guys making a lot of money and going, not just being bad, but being horrible. You know, like Schwarber, Castellanos, and Turner. I know I got two of those three names right, at least, but the big bats were supposed to come through big time. They were out there. They were supposed to come through, and then they didn't. And Boehm, you know, it made sense for Boehm to be in the four hole, because he had been so good with runners in scoring position throughout the regular season. And he had 20 home runs, so a little bit of power, a little bit. Like, that's the biggest reason why they lost the NLCS. Like, okay, like, you can say what you want to say about Boehm being moved out of the four hole, and maybe I would have agreed with that later down the line in the series, but it made sense to, for the most part, to for Rob Thompson to be here. Like, Rob Thompson is going to be here, and he's not the biggest reason why, you know, it wasn't like, it just wasn't, Rob Thompson will be here. I'm completely, completely okay with that. So Rob Thompson will be back, just clearing the air there. It's not his fault as to why they lost the NLCS and why they're not in the World Series. Okay. It was because the bats didn't come through. That's 100% the number one reason. Okay. Yeah, that just wanted to clear the air there. Just wanted to clear the air. So Rob Thompson will be back. Let's look at a little bit of this day in Phillies history. I'll be able to do that this offseason because, you know, had a lot to talk about during the regular season, but, you know, got a little more time this offseason. So let's look at what happened on this day in October 30th, Halloween tomorrow. So in 1996, this is also according to Broad and Pattison. Just want to shout them out because I use their website when I look at this day in Phillies history. 1996, Terry Francona was given a 2-year deal as a manager here in Philadelphia. Francona was a former major leaguer whose father played for the Phillies. I didn't even know that. I didn't know his dad played for the Phillies. But Terry Francona, you know, was brought here in 96 and didn't have a great tenure. And sucks because every other place he's gone, he's just been a great manager. You know, won a couple of titles with the Red Sox, and Indians, you know, got close, but were consistently contenders. Let me look at his record with the Phils all time. 68-94 his first year, it's 97, and then last year here was 65-97. In 2000. Best record was 77-85 in 99. So they were making progress, actually, and then it just went downhill in 2000. So Terry Francona, you know, sucks the what happened here when he was in Philadelphia, but Terry Francona. Phillies transactions on this day. 1981, signed minor league free agent Chris James. 1981, also traded Jose Castro to, I believe that's the White Sox, it says Chicago, parentheses AL, for Dewey Robinson and Gary Hull. I think that's how you say it. It's Holle. In 2019, claimed Robert Stock off waivers from San Diego. I think Stock sucked here, right? He definitely was horrible, if memory serves me well. He didn't even pitch here. I kind of remember that. Yeah, he didn't even pitch here. Yeah, whatever. Robert Stock was claimed off waivers and never threw a game for the Phillies. as far as I can remember. All right, before we get you out of here, we got to do it. World Series recap and a preview for tonight. Game number three with Max Scherzer and Brandon Fott. Game one was one of the, was a great game. Corey Seager tied it up in the ninth, and Adolis Garcia, who has had an absolutely monster postseason. I mean, I think he set the record for RBIs to this point, 22, I think it is. And Corey Seager coming through there, where he's been absolutely one of the most, clutch postseason players in recent history. So Rangers were able to take game one. Game two, Merrill Kelly, which we all know too well here in Philadelphia, has an incredible start on the mound. Tommy Pham, incredible at the plate, goes 4-for-4, a couple of doubles. Ketel Marte, I believe, extended his postseason hit streak. And I think he has, I'm pretty sure he set the record. Could be wrong on that, but D-backs just absolutely steamrolled the Rangers in game two. Jordan Montgomery not able to match Merrill Kelly. Montgomery, I think, went 6 innings, 4 earned. The Rangers offense not able to match the D-backs' offensive outburst in game two. So they won 9-1 in game two. And now it's 1-1 going back to Arizona. Look, I picked Arizona to win this in seven. If you want to listen to my other podcast with former WIP producer Nick Earnshaw, we do our podcast called The Shift. That's every week. We did our World Series prediction. I picked the Diamondbacks in seven. It's hard to go against the Diamondbacks. But tonight you're going to get Max Scherzer and Brandon Fott. Definitely an interesting matchup. Last time Brandon Fott pitched a game three, it was an incredible start against the Phils in game three way back in Arizona, just about a week and a half ago, I think it is now. So game three tonight, D-backs, Rangers, someone looking to get a 2-1 lead in that series. All right, so I will be back Thursday. Francisco Rojas here on Phillies 24/7, Phillies Today. We'll get into more stuff. We'll get into more more off-season stuff. I have a lot planned for the off-season. I want to do a lot of fun episodes. I want to do more interviews. I didn't do any interviews throughout the season. I think this is a great time to get some guests on the show. So very interested and very intrigued and excited to do that. So looking forward to that this off-season. Just make sure you follow me on Twitter @Rojas_media_. Follow me there. Let's talk Phils. Let's talk Birds. Birds won yesterday, beat the Commanders to improve to 7-1. So let's talk Philly sports. Anything tennis. Tennis fan too. So let's talk anything. So follow me on Twitter @Rojas_media_. That's going to do it for me, and I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.